Thank you, Jay. My name is Jay Stewart. I'm a member of the select committee here, and I'm from the Free State province. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you. Are there any apologies? There's an apology of Honorable Magatla. She's unable to attend the committee meeting due to bereavement. Okay, thank you. Apology noted and accepted. We then hand over to the department.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson. My name is Susan Sinan. I'm from the Division of Visible Policing of the SAPS. The head office.
Morning, Madam Chair. I'm Lieutenant General Mazibogo, the Acting Deputy National Commissioner of Human Resource Management in the SAPS.
Thank you very much. Let me also allow our support staff an opportunity to also introduce themselves so that we should know who's here at what capacity.
Good morning. My name is Itabisi Bawa. I'm the assistant to the committee secretary.
Good morning, I'm Tiffany Muzo from PNG.
Good morning, I'm Lorenzo Wakefield. I'm a research to the Portfolio Committee on Women, Children, People with Disabilities. For the Portfolio Committee, yeah, I'm just attending to observe, that's all. Jen? No, Jen, I just spoke with her, she's running late. I'm not replacing anyone, I'm just observing. Yeah. No, because I'm new, I started this year.
Yeah, you're replacing
Kashifa.
Kashifa.
Yes.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Thank you. Keep me
cheap. Thank you very much for joining us.
Because Tasnim is also not well, so she won't be joining us. I hope Jennifer will be joining us soon. But she sent an SMS this morning to say that she's running late. She's delayed because of traffic. Yes. It's fine. Can I then now allow the department to take us through their presentation? We are not happy because members are saying that they only saw this presentation this morning. I received mine by an email yesterday. At least I had an opportunity to go through it. But I will allow you to take us through their key issues that we specifically wanted us to take us through. It was on the intervention to combat drug abuse. The second one was on the provincial statistics on drug and substance abuse and related arrests. And the third one was on the statistics on what types of drugs and substance abuse are most affecting women, children, and people with disabilities, and what type of incidents of violence against these vulnerable groups involve the use of drugs. I don't know, you'll also be able to touch on the recent case of a teenager who murdered members of his family. I don't know, you're also in any position to share that information with us if you do. But I will now give you time to present. It's 9 o'clock. We are 30 minutes behind schedule. We are 30 minutes behind schedule. We apologize because all of us were delayed because of the heavy traffic. We don't know what caused that. But I have observed that in Cape Town, when it rains, you must know that it's bad news for traffic. So we apologize for having started late as well. Honorable Wells, there's a presentation before you. It's an 8-page presentation with 16 slides on it. So I hope whoever's going to take us through will be able to run through, and then let's see. We'll then agree on the approach once you've presented. Thank you.
Maybe, Madam Chair, before we start with the presentation, just to indicate that one is here, as you maybe noticed, from the Human Resource Management Environment, when I introduced myself, that One has just been requested by the National Commissioner in a absence because of involvement with the Fallon Commission, that I should lead the delegation. But there are also other pressing issues that have presented other people from the visible policing section to be part of this delegation. But having me here, Major General Susan Pinar, they are going to be presenting. Obviously, the content of the presentation relates to the activities that take place within the visible policing environment. But as you have indicated in the invitation, it is going to cover the three issues that have been raised, and hopefully it will be as comprehensive as expected by the committee. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you.
Let me recognize and welcome our Honorable Bemba Mokgoro. We missed you. Yes, welcome back. The members from the Free State. Not Free State, my Northern Cape. It's because of what is just all over my face, my eyes. Okay, you're welcome, Baba. We missed you so much. Thank you so much for coming. Okay. It's SAPS, ne? I don't know if you got the briefing. Yeah. South African Police. So let's give them the opportunity to take us through the presentation. It's going to be quite very short, because we are also mindful of the fact that there's another meeting that's supposed to sit in this space in the next 45 minutes. So let's just give them a hearing. Thanks. All right then, you may present.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to the Honorable Members. Nature, we received the questions from the committee, and I'm going to try and, to the best of my ability, speak to the specific issues you raised, but I want to start off by saying that some of the information we could not get from police systems. Specifically the last question, which I will speak to it to some extent, but I don't have statistics that speak specifically to what types of drugs affect women, children, or people with disabilities, or what kind of crimes against women, children, and people with disabilities are specifically influenced by drugs. I can speak to that in general, but I don't have statistics to deal with that. So let me just say that up front. The content of the presentation will... Sorry, yes, ma'am, that's exactly what I'm trying to say, is we don't have statistics, so what I will only say what I can basically say based on specific information. Just to start off with the interventions from a broader perspective, the police is one of the departments that is part of the Ministerial Committee for Prevention of Substance Abuse. They adopt a program of action every 5 years, and this was informed by the second biennial Substance Abuse Summit that took place in 2011. This is the second year of implementation of the program of action, and we update it on a yearly basis. Currently, the technical committee that works with the Ministerial Committee is busy updating the program of action for 2013-2014. The focus areas of the Substance Abuse Program of Action, just to give you an indication of what the broader area of work is that the government departments collaborate on, looks at development of policy review and alignment of legal legislation. Specifically, it looks at education and awareness of substance abuse, promoting equal access to resources across South Africa, and this specifically speaks to resources for the prevention and treatment of substance abuse, policies and legislation with regard to drugs and organized crime, and review of institutional mechanisms to prevent and manage alcohol and drug use in the country. The police's contributions to this program of action specifically speaks to programs to reduce the supply of illegal substances in the following manner. We deal with combating of organized crime, including the investigation and generating of crime intelligence that assists us to deal with organized crime investigation. We deal with precursor control, specifically the chemicals that come into the country that's used to produce drugs, and we have a program working very closely with Health and SARS to track those shipments and prevent chemicals that are used in the production of drugs to land up with the people that can use it. And we deal with international cooperation programs and specific implementation of international agreements. Then in regard to demand reduction, police addresses crime information and analysis, basically using the information generated by policing to help us prevent and address crime. That informs specific crime prevention actions and crime combating actions, including legal law enforcement, which is a particular focus that came out of the Interministerial Committee and in communication and awareness programs to prevent and reduce substance abuse. Legal law enforcement, I just want to focus on, as it's one of the priorities that was identified by the Interministerial Committee for Substance Abuse Prevention. In the 2012-2013 financial year, we undertook 382,678 compliance inspections and conducted at liquor outlets or premises. We identified 72,400 illegal liquor traders that were charged and closed down, and we confiscated in excess of 1.5 million liters of liquor. In terms of the figures I'm including in this presentation, I just want to indicate that we are in the process of auditing all our statistics for the annual report, so some of these statistics might change slightly as we finalise these figures. We have designated police officials that have been appointed at police stations and are responsible to address the transgressions of liquor legislation. The police plays an active role in four provincial liquor boards where the provincial legislation provides for this. In Gauteng, the Western Cape, Eastern Cape, Free State and Northern Cape, the Provincial Liquor Act do not make provision for designated police officers to serve on a liquor board. So we don't directly work with those liquor boards, but we do provide information when they request police information. In day-to-day operations, the police focuses specifically on the compliance and enforcement issues attending to liquor-related complaints, and including misuse of alcohol, to vigorously address the driving of vehicles while under the influence of liquor. Education and awareness. SAFS uses the SAFS Schools program to address drugs, crime and violence in primary and secondary schools. School-based crime prevention coordinators visit schools, facilitate awareness raising on the negative impact of drug in partnership with experts, for example, TANCA. Search and seizure operations are conducted in schools, focusing on drugs and dangerous weapons, in partnership with SAFS school committees located in the schools and the school governing bodies. This is a partnership with the Department of Basic Education, so our operations in the schools are agreed with and worked out with education. It works in line with education's policies as well, so that we don't disrupt the functioning of the schools. The police is a member of the Interdepartmental Kimoja Prevention and Education Program that informs the police work in regard to substance abuse prevention programs specifically conducted in schools. Kimoja essentially allows the expertise available in the other departments to inform what work police does in terms of prevention. Then, if I can come to the statistics. The statistics included in the presentation is statistics that we generate from our crime prevention operation. So we have a system called the Operational Management Information System, OPAM, and that system captures all the successes from operations that the police undertake. This is not all the day-to-day activities that police undertake. This is specifically the police operation. In order for us to provide information from our crime administration system, we'll require an ad hoc request. And that takes 7 days for us to process. So given the time allowed for providing this information, we could only generate information from the OPAM system, hence the operational system. So this is the overall quantity of drugs, which I will in the next slide break down for provinces requested. Cannabis, dry plants, and kilograms of dry and plants of cannabis and kilograms. The quantity of drugs for this last financial year was 181,000 kilograms compared to 200,994 for last year. Mandrake tablets, 108,652 compared to 127,680 for the last financial year. Tic Tac, 347 kilograms compared to 44 for last year. Cocaine is also a significant increase of 145 kilograms versus 107 for last year. Wumra, which is sometimes spelled differently, but 46 kilograms, and Nyape, also 46 kilograms, and that was also a significant increase from the previous year. We also confiscate smaller quantities of, for instance, heroin, but that is really small in quantities that we don't integrate on the system. The arrests for drug-related crime, also this is nationally, 168,000 people arrested in the last financial year. This is 133,478 in the previous financial year. Okay, this indicates an increase of 26.2% of arrests compared to the previous financial year. The provincial breakdown of the arrests, this is now specifically in crime prevention operation. For the Western Cape, 37,188 arrests. Gauteng, 41,952. KwaZulu-Natal, 41,205. Eastern Cape, 11,171. Malanga, 4,063, Limpopo, 3,976, Northwest, 3,269, Free State, 2,942, the Northern Cape 2,702, and that's a total of 168,468. The rest for driving under the influence of liquor. All three in crime prevention operations, it was 57,818, which presents an increase of 6.87% compared to the previous financial year. Provincial breakdown of arrests for driving under the influence of liquor. The national total, as I've already indicated, was 57,818. And as you will see from the figures, the breakdown provided, the province Gauteng has the highest number with 19,773, followed by KwaZulu-Natal 14,627, Western Cape 9,083, Eastern Cape 5,684, Mpumalanga 2,906, Limpopo 2,738, Northwest 1,493, Free State 1,202, and the Northern Cape 312. Provincial breakdown of the confiscation of drugs. Madam Chair, if you allow me, I won't read all these statistics, you have it in front of you. What is really useful to note is that the largest amount of cannabis was confiscated in the Western Cape, followed by KwaZulu-Natal and then Gauteng. And that's kilograms in weight, dry cannabis. The plants, mostly, the highest number there comes from Gauteng, interestingly enough, followed by KZN. I'm not going to read all the numbers. Then police actions, a total number of 257,648,515 police actions were conducted during the 2012-2013 financial year, and substance abuse amongst other offences are targeted during these police actions, which includes police patrols, visible vehicles, persons and premises searched, roadblocks, visits to schools, licensed liquor premises, basically visits to specific institutions where we check on compliance, and stop and search operations. So that's a summary of all the police actions that we undertake during the year. Madam Chair, the specific request in terms of drugs and substances that affect women, children, as I indicated, we don't have that information. What I can say is that we have done research a couple of years ago. We looked at contact crime specifically, and contact crime is crime like murder, attempted murder, assault, common assault, GBH, and sexual offences. And in the analysis of those crimes, we found that there is a correlation between liquor abuse, or let me say the intoxication of either the victim or the offender. So there is a strong correlation between contact crime and alcohol abuse. But in terms of our information, that is the only specific information that I can say we can substantiate that, because there was a specific research project done on that. Other than that, I can indicate that the drug most commonly used in South Africa is cannabis. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it affects everybody in South Africa, because it's the drug most commonly used in South Africa. So it is not possible with the information we have at the moment from our systems to answer that question. It would really require police to do an in-depth docket analysis of dockets involving crimes against women and children to see whether there are specific themes in terms of drugs or substance abuse that come through more strongly than in other cases. But I am a member of the Central Drug Authority as well, and I know that in terms of the Central Drug Authority's program for the year, one of the issues that we are looking at is specific research and generating more information about substance abuse and substance abuse patterns and trends in South Africa. So that is the specific request of the committee. I will feed into the engagement of the Central Drug Authority as well. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Welcome, Jennifer and Joyce. I will now allow members to make their contributions. Zaris, your hand was up.
Thank you, Chair. It won't take long because I know time is short. I see these figures, they look very good. I'm looking at the one drug-related arrest, slide 11, page 6, where there's 168,000 arrests. I know the police, they've got the arrest, but when you ask how many were convicted, then sometimes the police say, no, you've got to ask Justice. Justice Department, you give these figures, how many were the people convicted? They say, no, certain people fall between the gaps. Case never gets to court, so, you know, it looks very impressive, but how many were actually convicted? Second thing is liquor law enforcement. Gauteng, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, Free State, and Northern Cape, The Provincial Act did not make provision for DPOs to serve on liquor boards, designated police officials. I would have said that this is essential. Now, who do I write to? If I put in a written question, does this fall? You see, I can't write to all the five provinces that don't allow it and say, why don't you do it? Because obviously they're autonomous provincial departments. Does this fall under, in the Free State, for argument's sake, liquor board and gambling board, they combine. But I would say it's essential to have a designated police official there. I can't believe that there isn't such a person on those boards. Who does this fall under? Would this be COPTA, or who to say why can't the provincial regulation be changed to allow that? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and I'm very sorry that I came late. Was held by traffic, mist, and rain. Chair, I haven't got much about this information, but what I've been able to capture there is the issue of availability of drugs in South Africa. It seems the problem is increasing, and it seems even the types of drugs themselves, as different drugs, they are also increasing. And in the recent past, I came to know about this Nyaupe also. Now, to me, it's completely a new type of thing. Maybe I'm just behind time. But in that situation, one would like to know whether the police have the knowledge of the origins of these types of drugs, as different as they are, and if they have, where does the origin start? Is it within the country, or is it from outside? And if it's outside, I think South Africa has got quite a number of entry points where these things can be properly controlled and to be dealt with. So I would like to know whether this origin of these drugs comes from inside or outside the country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can you respond? Welcome, Mantukana.
Thank you.
Also, put in my comments, sort of when you respond, then after that we can summarize, unless there's another issue, a burning issue that members would want to respond to. Having listened to the presentation, I think you were also honest to say that you don't have specific information related to what we have requested the department to come and address us on. For me, it goes back to whether are we taking issues of vulnerable groups into account, or are we serious about them or not? Because where it's supposed to start is when there's any arrest made in the report. The type of questions or the type of statements that the police write, I don't know, I will not be able to use their language, nor their, I don't know how do they write the statements and all that, but if we were to get this right, because here we are interested about the vulnerable groups. We want to know about children who are involved in the abuse of substance abuse, who are involved in the abuse of this substance. We are interested about people with disabilities. We are interested to know about women in general. And there's no way that we can say women. I know, for an example, your presentation could have also touched trafficking of drugs. We know that there's a report that has been released that South African women, that they are the ones who are actually used to transport drugs from other countries. we've heard of such things, we've seen documentaries and all that. I think the report, the presentation could have touched that. In when they also make this arrest, they are able to say, how old are you? If you are below, is it 18 or 21? If you are below 18, then they know that we've arrested so many in Mpumalanga below 18 who were involved in this, either selling or abusing the substance. Do you have any form of disability? That question is very important. Because you address me, you arrest me, I suffer from a chronic illness. 30 minutes, I collapse and die in your under the police custody. It becomes problem of the. I think the police should start changing the way they approach issues. It cannot be like in the past, you know, just come, we're taking you and all that. But because of we are more of rehabilitating and rebuilding the society, so I strongly feel that those things, you know, those are more things that we need to change. But it's something that cannot be addressed at this level, maybe through our motions and other engagements with either the department, the portfolio or the select committee. We need to start sharing those kind of information. But I want to strongly recommend, I don't know how far can this recommendation go, that the questionnairing approach, it should change. Then it will then empower our statistics, will then be able to know. You know, the only slide that is partly talking to, I want you to also switch on to that slide, slide 8. It's the only slide that I think it touches to what we are actually requesting. If you can go back to slide 8. But it's also very, it's sketchy. You know, it's just saying, it's not specific. You see slide 8. You talk about education and awareness. Is there some way you're talking about schools? Yeah. I think it's bullet 2. Oh no, in fact the entire slide 8 speaks about schools. But you only say you use safe school program to address drug crime and violence. And what is it? I don't know you can tell us what is this program, because of one of the questionnaire is that you need to provide us with program 8 aimed at assisting the vulnerable groups. If you can tell, maybe break that down and tell us, even if you can't respond now, just note it. You can send that in writing, fine. Tell us what programs do you use in terms of addressing the drug crime and violence in primary and secondary schools. Tell us the province, housing and all that. These are the problematic areas in terms of drug abuse. These are the schools. And then it's children from which age to what age, you know. I think policing should also go beyond law enforcement. We should also know the backgrounds of the families, where these children come from, if we are really serious about rehabilitating and building better communities. The second bullet talks about school-based crime prevention coordinators visit schools and facilitate awareness raising on the negative impact of drugs in partnership with. Now, if we have coordinators, is this program sustainable? Is this program running in the entire country? That's where we come in. It's a good program. If these coordinators, are they well-resourced? Are they well-trained? That's where we come in. We want to know. If they are not, then we can also make recommendations to make sure that we mobilize for more resources, capacity training, and whatever that it's needed to enhance the work of these coordinators. Give it Isha.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the third bullet talks about search and seizure operations are conducted in school focusing on drugs and dangerous weapons in partnership with the school committees located. Look, this on its own, the third bullet. There was a media report last week whereby when learners were made aware that police are coming for searching, apparently they were just throwing drugs and weapons outside the window. I don't know if you've heard about that. So searching, it has to be something that is there, you know. Law enforcement, it has to be there, especially in areas where we know that there are problems. I don't want to talk about violence because of not long ago, there is a school boy who was shot in the school premises. So it's
it's those kind of things. Our children, are they safe at school? So it's ongoing. These programs, they need sustainability. They need people who can champion them within the subs directorate. The subs is a member of the interdepartmental team on child prevention and education program that is responsible in regarding the substance abuse prevention program for the school. Even if the Kimoja program prevention, is it only in Gauteng? Is it happening in Northern Cape? Is it there in Free State? Is it, you know, it has to be a provincial approach because of we know the patterns. If we target Gauteng, then they go to move from Gauteng to another province. They make us forget a little. Once they see that it's quiet, then they move back to the area. So if we come with an approach that will make sure that when we target this, it's an approach for every government school in the country, then we know that the people will not take chances. Schools have to be safe. We're not taking any chances. We're saying no to drugs and any form of substance abuse in our schools, and we want the police to play a key role on this. We understand the issues of resources. I am still interested to see their budget as to how much has been budgeted for these vulnerable groups. And then the second issue, your relationship with social development, that is very important. We need to know what is your relationship, because there's a ministerial task team that has been established to deal with is it school drugs or children drugs, I'm not sure. But there's an interministerial headed by the Minister of Social Development on drug and children. So yes, we want to know what is your relationship with them. What is your relationship with the women, children, and people with disabilities ministry, other departments, especially the justice department? What is your relationship with them, especially in cases where children are involved, where women are involved, and where people with disabilities are involved? Record keeping becomes very important. I think that's one thing that the subs lack. Record keeping is a challenge. Record keeping and acquiring of information. I think that is a serious challenge that we need to check on. Yeah, those were my few comments. I always like to make an example of a place where we've visited. It's Red Hook. It's in New York. But I would not compare South Africa to that. But if we are a developing country and we are serious about development, those are the good best practices, good models that we can copy from them and start and applying them. So the Red Hook, the Temporo, you remember where we went to? New York, Daryl, you remember? I still...
What
it was the family court system.
What?
Yeah, it's the family court system. You know what? That program is so integrated. Families are involved, social workers are involved, the justice system is there, it's running. Yeah, it's involved, you know. It's spearheaded by the justice system, but it encompasses all other related issues, you know. They don't even convict you, but before they get to, they must first get to understand, why are you a troubled child? How were you raised? What is your family about? What's your family background? You know, what are the problems? Why are you doing this? You understand? And they investigate, you know, that is very important, because now we get to understand what are the root causes of this. Then after that, they also identify talent. This boy is an artist. Why don't we help him to go and do this, you know? We are a developing country. Ideally, that's the South Africa that one would want to live in, you know? But I don't lose hope. I know that one day we'll get there. We are still, we are a new democracy, we are new, yeah. And you know, yesterday I spoke to the other lady in the plane when we were traveling to Cape Town, that I think one thing that has really impacted negatively on us is the issue of globalization, that's important. Because, you know, it was our freedom, it was globalization, it was integration of societies. I don't know how many of you saw an article, a newspaper article on Sunday. Sunday, the Sunday World, where they were there was a report about children pornography on Twitter. Our school girl, you know, I don't know how many of you saw that. It was so disturbing. You know, as a mother, you might even find your daughter that is involved in those things, but you don't know. You understand? So this integration of societies and all that, we're unable to, especially globalization, you know, to unpack it and make it, contextualize it into an African context. You know, as an African, you are involved into this thing. You can't run away from it. The social media network is there. It will never go away. But how do we then control all these things, you know? But that, for me, requires sober minds, people who are dedicated, people who are really for development and sustainable communities, you know, to come and claim. I know that you might not be able to respond to some of these questions, but I thought I should just raise these things so that wherever you report, they should know that the next time this committee calls for this kind of a report, would want you to zoom exactly on that. That is doable. We just have to change the way we are doing things. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, to start with the Honourable Work Questions, I don't have it with me, the what happened with the case after we arrested. But the justice system does have that information, so we can give you further information on that. Just based on police systems, we can give an indication of how many of those arrests proceeded to court, and then we usually have on our systems an indication of the outcome of the court. So yes, we can answer that, but I don't have it with me. In terms of the legal law enforcement, this is one of the issues that the Interministerial Committee is also looking at, making sure that all the provinces have similar legal legislation that basically includes the good practices that we want to see so that we can effectively enforce legal legislation. But the department that leads that is the Department of Trade and Industry at national level. So if you want to raise it to national level, it would be with Trade and Industry. Then in terms of the availability of drugs in South Africa, and in specifically the issue of Nyakwe, and I think Bunga is another example, sugars, essentially the active ingredient of those drugs are all heroin. Or they have a combination of heroin, marijuana, and sometimes rat poison, or sometimes allegedly antiretrovirals. But there's very little information available with what people mix with heroin. But the active ingredient is an existing scheduled illegal effective substance, which is heroin. And yes, heroin comes into South Africa from other countries. So our enforcement approach here is not just police, SARS, Home Affairs jointly, the border control actions, the port of entry actions, and you would read from time to time in the papers about drug confiscations at the airport. Those are all part of the initiatives that we do to try and pick up these issues coming into the country. They use sniffer dogs at all the airports, police and SARS use them, or customs and excise use them, and we search a lot in our border post, and also through our borderline policing, we search vehicles and people coming in and across the borders. So there's a lot of enforcement actions being undertaken to stop that, but there is still a significant problem. And I think one of the problems with drugs like heroin, because the quantities coming into the country is affected by the enforcement, so it is limited. This is why then the guys mix it with, for instance, other substances so that they can sell more of it. And that's when they form these other drugs like Nyakwe or Wunga. They call it sugars in certain parts of KwaZulu-Natal. They're all mixtures of heroin and something else, so that they stretch, in a sense, the amount of heroin they've got. And they're all incredibly damaging to the human body. To address the issues raised by the chairperson, what I have with me is an indication of the number of arrestees that are children, or let me say the number of children that we charge for crimes every year, because we deal with that in terms of the child justice system. For the last financial year, the number was 68,078. So for 2011-2012, charged 68,078 children for various offences. I don't have a breakdown of those offences, so I can't tell you which ones are drug-related, but we would have our information system. Let me maybe explain that. SAP's information system that we use is the crime administration system, and it is literally that. It administers crime. So it keeps record of every crime and the offender of that crime, where the offender is known. So we would it's easier for us to give information, it's possible for us to give information of a person we charge, because we record, for instance, their ID number on our system. So we can usually say the person we arrested is a child, is a man, is a woman. But what we often don't have is the information about the victim, because the system provides more for offender's information than for victim information. But essentially, it captures the information around the crime. And that is why we find ourselves often in a very difficult situation. When we need to give information of context, we need to do literally an analysis of the docket, where we go and look at the statements and we do research on that. So that is something that we have raised, not just in the police, but in the broader criminal justice system, in terms of our integrated justice system project, that we need to enhance our information system so that we can provide more contextualized information. Because we recognize the shortcomings of CAS, that is often we can't give people the information that they need to really look at how crime affects vulnerable groups. We would be able to, I don't have it with me, but we should be able to provide information on the number of charges against women, so we would at least be able to, in terms of offenders, be able to distinguish between adults and women, men and women, and also child men and women, or boys and girls. The school safety aspect, yes, first of all, to start off, it's a joint initiative between SAPS and the Department of Basic Education. The ministers formally signed an agreement, and we're rolling it out across the country. What the Departments of Education and Police do at provincial level is they identify schools that are most vulnerable, and they start with the rollout of the program in those schools. They then link specific police stations to specific schools, and the next step in the process is to establish what we call a school safety committee. And essentially, it's a committee where the school governing body, the police, and the school's management participate, also the learners participate if it's a secondary school, to look at how do we make that school safer. They deal with issues that already affect the safety of the school, but they also deal with prevention. You know, what do we do to ensure that, for instance, drugs don't come into our school if it is not already there. Then police's role in that program specifically is, as a law enforcement agency, we would do any law enforcement work. So we look at it from the perspective of a police response. So if the school needs assistance from the police, we set up measures so that they know who to call. There's an emergency response mechanism in place for the school. The second thing they do is they look at what are the current threats at that school, and then they address that through law enforcement actions, for instance, searches and seizures. And that is usually done in such a way that we try and respect how the school operates, but we work with a specific group of people so that the message doesn't get out. So we do, sometimes the message does get out, and that's when you find what you were reading about in the papers, where the children were tipped off and drugs are thrown out of the windows. But there's a fair amount of work that goes into prevention and education as well, and that is more education side of the program. They do, in their life orientation program in the schools, they do drug prevention, which we know from some of the international research to be very effective. Education programs is probably the best form of prevention you can, according to the UN Office for Drugs and Crime. And that the police plays a role in those prevention programs, but we fit into the education programs. We don't go and do the education program ourselves. They give us, for instance, a slot in their life orientation lessons where we would go and speak to children about the child justice system. We would explain to them what the drugs are, how it affects them. But we don't do that on our own. We do that in the context of the age group of the children, of the syllabus of life orientation. It's very important that police's information fits into that ongoing learning program or education program. It's not once off. So if you go in and you do a once off lecture, you can often trigger an interest, but then you don't satisfy the need for ongoing information. So you leave children with not enough information, and then they go maybe and find the information in the wrong places. What the UNODC guidelines for prevention tells us is that if you don't have an ongoing education program, that you could do more harm than good. So it's important that education is really that it is an education program, it mustn't be a once-off lecture by a police member. And police are not trained as drug educators. We're trained as police. To speak to the issue of the school coordinators or the police members that go to the schools, they're trained police officers. They're selected for their interest in working specifically with schools and prevention. They've got crime prevention training, but they're not trained drug counselors. So that's again why it's important that police is not doing it on their own, but as part of an education program in the school. Then to speak to the school safety programs is mainly between basic education and police, but there are also departments like health and social development that are also involved in supporting schools. For instance, through the school health program, our Department of Health and Social Development, with assistance for school social workers and family support programs, So the schools, what we would like to see police do, I think, is the third step. So we've got the prevention issues where they identify the risk factors and the prevention programs, but the law enforcement aspect. But then the third part of the police involvement at the school is that they might become aware of specific crimes. For instance, someone might report to them. They build a relationship with the children in school. So a child might report to a police member that there is abuse in a household. Then they can trigger the, they can refer that, for instance, to the social workers that work in that area. So we don't want just police and education. We want all the departments involved so that we can really provide a seamless service. And the school safety program is meant to pick up some of those issues. Is there maybe sexual abuse? Is there maybe a domestic violence situation? Are there parents who may be addicted to drugs or alcohol? And then you, through your relationship that you build, you can then refer that to the appropriate departments that can provide support. It is a sustainable program in the sense that it doesn't just rely on a police member or a school. It relies on a whole school safety committee that involves the parents and the school governing body and the learners as well. It's been rolled out all over the country. I didn't bring statistics on that program with me, and Madam Chair, I realise that I should have actually done that. It's my fault. But we can provide more information on the numbers of schools where it's been rolled out and maybe more specific information per province. But this is specifically a provincial program. It's rolled out. It's a national agreement, but every provincial education department and police in the province rolled it out jointly. So the content is slightly different in each program, province based on the priorities and the focus of the provincial education department as well. The Kimoja program, just how it relates to that, is Kimoja is led by social development, and it's specifically meant to be a drug education and awareness program. So they assist greatly with the content of what should, for instance, be addressed in the learning programs in the school. All the departments are involved with it. Social development did a whole review of the Kimoja program in the last financial year, and they now are reviewing the whole plan of action for Kimoja for implementation in the current financial year and going forward. Our relationship with social development is there's two interministerial committees that I think is relevant in the context of this committee's focus. There's an interministerial committee led by the Minister of Social Development focusing on substance abuse prevention, which is the one that I have mentioned in this presentation that speaks to specifically initiatives to deal with preventing substance abuse, alcohol, and with a specific focus on alcohol. And that committee is also the one that's been leading the alcohol advertising process. Then there is another interministerial committee also led by the Minister of Social Development that focuses on violence against violence prevention with a specific focus on women and children, and there is obviously a link between the two committees in the sense that substance abuse is one of the risk factors for violence against women and children. The Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities also serve on the Interministerial Committee for Violence Prevention, but we work with them specifically on the National Gender Council, and we also work with them on some of the international obligations that South African government has and in SAPS contribute to in terms of international commitments for child protection, status of women and violence against women and the status of people with disabilities. We also work very closely with Justice and the NPA and Correctional Services Home Affairs in the Justice Cluster, where we work with them on the joint structures. There's the Joint Operational Intelligence Committee structures that deal with specific operations, one of which would be we're currently working on a program for an operation called Toxic Algae that's going to focus specifically on drugs, where all the departments are involved with those operations that are run nationally. But we also work through the Development Committee of the Justice, Crime Prevention and Security Cluster on, for instance, what may be relevant to this committee is the enhancements to the systems of all the departments so that we have better information that can track the cases and people throughout the criminal justice system. If I could maybe just end up on that point of record keeping, specifically in terms of the children, and this is to some extent triggered by the Child Justice Act and the work that we need to do jointly between the department to monitor the implementation of the Child Justice Act. We have identified the need to make specific enhancements to the systems of all the departments so that we can track, for instance, a child coming in throughout the system from when we first arrest that child. But sometimes, even before we arrest, the child might come to the notice of a social worker, for instance, because there's something going wrong in the family. But literally that we can track a child throughout the system, we can see whether they're assessed properly by a probation officer, whether they may be assessed, whether they're part of a family support program, when they go through the justice system, are they considered for diversion. So the whole case of a child, the cases of child offenders, each one of those children when we arrest them must be assessed. That requires the assistance of a probation officer. if they're considered for diversion, there's a need for a diversion program. If they do end up going to, if they get convicted and sentenced to a custodial sentence, they must have provision for secure care facilities and rehabilitation facilities for children. So basically, that triggers the need to look at our systems and how we capture. And the Integrated Justice System project is busy with various changes to our systems to allow us to do that better. One example in the police is that we're looking at children under 10. We can't charge because they're not deemed criminally liable. But we still need to keep track if a child under 10 is involved in a crime. We won't charge them, but we must ensure that they are referred for assessment. And our systems need to capture that. Now, because we can't charge the child, it will never show on our systems. So we needed to make different mechanisms to make provision for capturing that information so that we can say subs dealt with 10 children under 10 that were involved with crime and we referred them to social workers. If we don't capture the information, we can't prove that we did deal with the referral. So that is what really triggered a very intensive look at how we deal with these information systems, specifically that speak to children and some of the initiatives that are currently underway in that regard. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Pina. Is there any other issues that members would want to raise? Yeah, there was a question about Honorable Mokoro. You wanted to know the type of drugs that the children use. Whether are they where are they sourced from? Local? Or internationally? And what is the common drug that they use?
The most common drug is marijuana in South Africa. Well, let me say alcohol as marijuana because it's easily accessible. But then you have and this I cannot really substantiate for sure, but the allegation the common perception that's coming up is that in certain areas you have these mixtures, these concoctions, like in KwaZulu-Natal, Wunga, in certain areas they call it sugar, Tuk Tuk in the Western Cape, and Nyaka in the Gauteng townships. There's this allegation that they are now very prevalent for children. I can't really substantiate that they are the most prevalent and more prevalent. I think in terms of our information, marijuana is still the most prevalent drug of use. But what happens is that they mix marijuana, for instance, with heroin and other substances. And other substances can be a painful, it can be antiretroviral. There's an allegation perception that in KwaZulu-Natal, for instance, there was antiretrovirals being used mixed with, for instance, heroin, and then they create Wunga. We haven't been able to substantiate that. There has been analysis, and in some cases they have found that certain kind of antiretrovirals is perceived to be used more than others. There's no real information about that. The Central Drug Authority is also looking into that in more detail. But I think the question, is it local? Is it coming in? Marijuana is local usually. Heroin comes from somewhere else. And I think because the heroin coming from somewhere else is limited, that's when they start mixing it with all these other issues. So often the accusation is antiretrovirals or rat poison or sometimes marijuana.
Just small question.
Yeah.
Is there any evidence
drug abuse seems to be an international challenge, and meaning that every country must be having some plans, some way of approach as to how they should deal with this challenge. Now, one would like to know whether our police in South Africa, do they consult with international police, exchange ideas and draw some good practices and see on this specific issue how we can deal with it. So it's something like that, whether there is the exchange of expertise and so on.
First of all, through the SARCO, the South African Regional Police Chiefs Council, we work very closely with our neighbouring countries, and we also deal with the law enforcement aspect in concert with them, for instance, the trafficking, actions to prevent trafficking. I'm not personally in a detective environment, but the detectives specifically, both in the Hawks, the DPCI, and in our general detectives, work very closely with the Interpol structures, where they also share information. They share information on specific criminals, specific offences, organisations, and they basically work together to combat drug abuse. And then we also, in terms of international agreements, work with countries like the USA is particularly involved with international measures to combat substance abuse. We work with most of the other countries, especially countries where drugs come from or where they traffic through. And there's also a specific concern about South Africa, that we don't want South Africa to be seen as a hub through which drugs travel to elsewhere. So we work very closely with international law enforcement agencies and other countries to address that particular concern. Drugs coming into South Africa, but drugs flowing through South Africa to other countries as well. I'm not an expert in that field, so I don't really want to say more than that, except to say that there definitely are measures in place to deal with it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Kani.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, Chair, to be late. No, I wanted to know from police. I'm very worried about this drug abuse because it doesn't reduce down, it's escalating all the time. So I want to know from them, how often did they do the raids in our community to check these drugs? How often, is there any allocation in the areas or in the policies to say, okay, we usually do these raids maybe once a month, twice a month. How often? Because according to me, I don't see any raids in our areas. Instead, I don't know whether in the big towns, but in our small towns, but the drugs are flocking. I don't know, how can I put it? Thank you, Chef.
We do, I would say that we do raids almost on a daily basis, but maybe not in every single town on a daily basis. We analyse our crime, every police station has it on a daily basis. They analyse their crime, they look at what are the patterns and the trends, and then they respond in terms of operations to that crime pattern and the findings. Also, they respond on specific tip-offs. So, for example, if you have people calling in to say that there's a particular house where they think drugs are being sold, if that information is solid enough, or if they can, if it's in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act, we can act on that, they would then act on that information. We also try to close down all the shebeens. If we know of an illegal house, we try to close it down. So I can't, there is not a specific rule that says it must be done every week, every day, but it's based on the actual crime patterns in every particular area and the perceived concerns, and also on the community's information. If there is a CPF or active in an area, then they can also work with the police and say, we have a particular concern about this area or that area, and then the police would respond. But we've had more than 250 million police actions in the last financial year. That gives you an indication these actions are frequent. And whether they patrol, they visit to a school or a liquor outlet, stop and search operation, you won't always see them. Because, for instance, a stop and search operation would be police would drive along and we would see a car that we think, we wonder about that one, and there's maybe a number plate missing or something. Pull them over, stop and search them, we may find out they may not. That's a police operation, but you may not necessarily see it unless you happen to be driving past at that point. And often the raids are also conducted at night. So you may not always as a community be aware that that house has been raided, or but often the premises also might be not be in a residential area. But if there's a particular area that you want me to be aware of, then we could certainly follow that up and find out from the provincial commissioner what is happening in that area.
Okay, thank you. Maybe all the outstanding and unclarified questions that we are unable to deal with, you can send them back to us in writing. Once you find your investigation, that is permissible. You will exchange your contact with the committee secretary. But what we are trying to say here is that we don't want to be reactionary. We react because of the situation, but we want a planning
that will be able to combat, you know, to even foresee the dangers that is coming. Because if really we had a good intelligence, we should be knowing by now who's supplying this drug. What is the commonly used drug used? So I think we still, we're lacking that, you know, but maybe we should leave that for another debate at another level. But further investigation. So we should be knowing exactly why are we having so much drugs in the country, you know? But it's fine. Let's not engage ourselves into that at this stage. Maybe later on, and maybe in what is this? If we can work with the portfolio committee in parliament, maybe those are that's the platform that we need to create. I think we need to openly and unapologetically start talking about this thing, because it's escalating, like Honorable Tukani has said, you know. It's not getting any better. It's escalating. It's fine. Then that brings us to the end of the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We are scheduled to sit for another meeting in this committee room again. So, but the members who will be participating, they know themselves. Oh, in fact, all of us. But on a different matter. I want to thank you all, Ms. Susan, Pinar, and Mr. Mazibuko, for your time. I know that you are not people who are supposed to have came here, but you sacrificed. Thank you very much for respecting the and all great fellow colleagues. We're not happy about the presentation. It does not have any specific issue that we wanted them to respond on, but we said it's fine. It can start the foundation for debate, but go back, tell them all the issues that we've raised. Should you get an opportunity to come back and present on this issue, please be specific on what you are looking for. And this is Jenny, back at home. Are you all flying back to Joburg?
Yes.
Oh. All right. Have a safe journey home. This brings us to the end of our meeting. Thank you.
Oh, my God.